News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, as you know, you're welcome back to News Talk Breakfast. And as you know, we hold a grudge in this country. We have held a little one against our neighbours, Great Britain, I think for about, well, how long? 800 years more, something like that. So what is the science of holding a grudge, both physically and emotionally? And do we need to get rid of these grudges out of our life to free and liberate ourselves up? Now, joining me now is Brendan Kelly, who is a professor of psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin and author of the book Resilience. Good morning to you, Brendan.
Good morning, Emmett. How are you?
Very well. Brendan, as I said in the introduction, we know about grudges in Ireland. We're seen as people who don't forget history, for example, very easily. How toxic and difficult can it be if you harbour these grudges over a long period of time, at least in terms of your mental health?
Well, harbouring an unjustified grudge over a long period of time, it changes your brain biology quite significantly. And what happens is a part of your brain called the amygdala, which deals with emotions, it starts to override the front part of your brain, which is more logical. And this is the bit telling you that it's time to let the grudge go. But look, logic cannot hold a candle to some of these emotional responses that get sustained by the amygdala far longer than is justified or merited. And you know what? At some level, we know this, but in another way, we can't let it go.
And Brendan, you often hear people saying it, mainly in the sporting context, but people say, you know, I used it as a fuel. They got dropped from the team, or they were in some way crossed by somebody or other. They say, I used almost the revenge as a fuel, as adrenaline. Is there any science behind that version of things?
Small amount of short-term benefit. So what happens is you get this surge of cortisol, this hormone that stays at a high level well after the stimulus is gone. And look, from an evolution point of view, it probably helped at one point to, you know, to remember who your enemies were. But the way that we live now, the response is disproportionate. This hypercortisol response, it's maladaptive. And ultimately, you know, the saying is that resentment is like eating poison and waiting for the other person to die. You only harm yourself over time with this.
Now, what about people who would say, listen, this isn't about psychiatry, Brendan. This is about justice, or I was wronged, or I was disrespected, or I was slighted in some way, and I want to put that right, regardless of the sort of mental health implications.
Well, holding a grudge doesn't put it right, because a grudge is something that happens entirely inside your own head, your own body, and the other person might not know at all. Carl Jung once said that the wounder wounds themselves and the healer heals themselves, and it really has nothing to do with anybody else. So you're not, you know, attaining justice. All you're doing is basically harming yourself by not forgiving. And of course, when you forgive someone, the beneficiary is not the person who is forgiven. You are the beneficiary, because you're finally managing to let go, and this will fade over time. So the motto should be forgotten, not forgiven.
Yeah, we sometimes hear this personality type called somebody is chippy, you know, he's chippy, she's chippy. I mean, that's effectively a grudge person. Isn't that another way that we're trying to describe it?
Yes. And, you know, some people make holding a grudge almost their entire life's work. And the way they see the world is based entirely upon some slight, which is probably entirely imagined. But letting it go does bring enormous relief. And it is good for body. It's good for your mind. High levels of cortisol over the years affect your brain, your heart, your lungs, your skin. So forgiving is an act of self-care. And, you know, it's all the better if the other person doesn't know you've forgiven them, but you will benefit from doing so.
We'll see if Donald Trump can carry out some of these practices you're talking about. If he loses this election by the time Friday evening comes, he might be able to sort of give us an idea. But self-worth plays a part in all of this, doesn't it? Like whether somebody is confident can absorb a slight or an episode of disrespect. Is that part of it, that they have the resilience to take it?
Yes, yes. Well, it is to a degree. And we do need to cultivate in our children and in each other a sense of self-worth. Your term is a very good one, because sometimes people talk about levels of self-esteem. And that is not so helpful to talk about, as if there is a certain amount of self-esteem you should have. Whereas self-worth means just fundamentally knowing that you are worthy by virtue of the fact that you are a human being. You will need to absorb some slights and some injustices. Of course, there's a time time when you must take action, but letting the small ones go is the recipe for long-term happiness.
Well, Brendan, you've spoken to me in the time slotted for this item, so I don't bear you a grudge. Thank you very much for helping the flow of our programme. That is Professor Brendan Kelly, who is a professor of psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin and author of Resilience.
Yeah, life's too short for grudges. He's dead right. Loads of you texting this morning about the things your mammy used to say to you. This texter says, my grandmother used to always say, if you work for free, you'll always be busy, which is absolutely right.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.